Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by
Duchess, and that's me. Hey, how y'all doing out there? This is Duchess. How you doing? It's another day, another time for another show, and I'm looking forward to it. I feel pretty up today. The sun is shining here in good old Virginia, and it's turning out to be a beautiful, cold day. It's a little nippy out there, but that's okay. The sun is shining, and I'm feeling good. When the sun shines, I always feel good. Oh, so what's on the agenda for today? Let's see. We're going to talk about the last part of the month of March. Lena Stevens, lots of people like to listen and hear about what she has to say, and I'm always interested in what she has to say. We're going to talk about a little bit of this stuff that's going on with the political scene. A lot of people are feeling a little antsy about that, and we can look at things in an intellectual way. We can look at it as a spiritual matter. We can look at it as physical. Just look at it as it is, without intellectualizing it. And I like to look at things from all perspectives. What I plan on doing, I've decided that I'm going to do is I'm going to buy some postcards. You know, everyone is saying we should contact our representatives and contact our congressional delegation and people to let them know that we don't like what's going on. That's if you don't like it. I mean, if you like it, you can get some postcards and tell them that you do like it. But I plan on buying some postcards and address labels and some stamps. I don't know if the post office still sells postcards already pre-stamped, but that would be a way to go also. And you know how you get these name and address labels in the mail with your name and address label on it. You can get some of those and then go online and see who your representatives are in Congress. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. If you don't like what's going on or what they're doing, then you send your postcards to them. If you like what's going on, then you send what they're doing, then you send a thank you to them. Thank you, I see you looking out for my best interest, or hey, you know, I don't like what's going on, it's going to hurt people in my family, it's going to hurt me, and you let them know. And I think that's a whole lot better than this. People have this lazy way of doing things. You're going to send an email. When they start getting, bags and bags of mail in Washington, D.C., on their desk and at their office, I mean, they've got to really take notice. So try doing some of that. There are also some organizations around hashtag resist, and they're all over the country. As a matter of fact, I got emails when they were first promoting hashtag resist meetup groups. You go to meetup.com and you look for hashtag resist, and you'll find one right there in your local community. I was getting these hashtags from all over the place. Leesburg, Ashburn, Middleburg, I mean, they were like in each community they were coming through. And so that's something that you can also do. But let's talk about Lena Stevens and the changes that we're going through and how to surrender to these changes and how to just relax and let the flow ease you on through this stuff. Because you can't get all bent out of shape, because that which you literally resist will persist. When you get all bent out of shape and you're freaking out over stuff happening, that's when you're operating from a mode of fear. When you operate from a mode of fear, that's when stuff really gets you wrapped around the edges. So first, let's look at what Lena has to say. Then I'm going to give you, I'm going to read something that I wrote exactly, 7 years ago, that can apply to today and today's angst and today's frustrations and today's stresses. But first, Lena. Lena, we're going to jump right to the 16th to the 23rd because we're midway the month and you got the first half of what Lena had to say. You got that back on, the 5th of March. So let's jump right to the middle of March. And that's when she was talking about surrender. And what she's saying is as we move into a bit more of a stable energy, during this time frame, and you sort of dry out from the post-eclipse emotional surges, it is a good time to turn your focus to the action steps that will be needed to support you now. As we near the time of the equinox, there is more energy to vitalize action and more clarity to understanding your truth. Commitments and decisions may be called for, which will require trust. You may need to surrender those decisions to spirit and trust that it will all work out. Now, what does equinox mean? I was looking that up earlier. Matter of fact, I almost missed the start of my own show because I was so busy checking out the equinox. Well, equinox is a Latin term that means equal night. It happens when the sun shines directly on the Earth's equator, providing equal amounts of day and nighttime to both the northern and southern hemispheres. So, how does it affect us? Aside from the warmer weather of the spring equinox budding in and the budding and blooming of the flowers, Northern Hemisphere experiences later sunsets while the opposite occurs for the Southern Hemisphere. Now, you all know I don't deal very well with winter, so I give the little spring countdown, and I didn't like that blast of winter snowstorm that we had last week. Matter of fact, I stayed close to the house, but that's neither here nor there. Spring is a blooming outside, and it will be the first day of spring, I believe, tomorrow. So once we enter the fiery time, that fiery time of action, movement, and fruition, Lena is saying that you might want to use fire in a ceremony or ritual to surrender something that still needs to be unloaded. You know, sometimes we carry around a lot of baggage that we think we've let go of, but we really haven't. Now, it can be symbolic, as in burning a written narrative about what you are surrendering. You know, just write a little story, I now surrender X, Y, and Z, or I now surrender my attitude towards this person, or I now surrender how I felt when my job fired me. Write it down and use that as your ritual. Now, spring is renewal, taking the nourishment from the winter cycle and the freedom from surrender and weaving it into a new picture, a new expression, and a new signature. We need to celebrate this newness, this rebirth in some way by doing something that represents an expansion and an upgrade. And we all could use an upgrade. I don't care if it's like me, I made an upgrade in the vehicle that I'm driving, or an upgrade in how you perform at work, or an upgrade in, I don't know, the type of television shows you watch. I mean, sometimes we need an upgrade in that. Boring. So we move on with Lena the 24th and the 31st to the 31st. Okay, this will be a time of action. What have you always wanted to do that you have been afraid to do? What have you always wanted to share that you have been afraid of sharing? What have you always wanted to express that you have been afraid of expressing? That will be a time for courage during that week. That will be a time for you to surrender your fear and inhibitions and harness that fiery rooster for your own medicine. Be seen, be heard, be acknowledged. Reciprocate this exchange by responding to others with honor, encouragement, and compliment. Your container is bigger, and you have to trust that it is being filled with the right intentions and experiences. Do some work during this time to fill it also with love, light, and awe. You know, we get so caught up in, you know, the challenges of our life that we forget that we are beings, human beings, on a mission of love. And, of course, we have those challenges that face us that cause us to act in ways other than a loving way or a loving being, but we have to practice it. And that's our whole purpose, is practicing how to be that loving human being that we came here to be. Now, March 27th, you're going to have a new moon, and you're to watch for misguided aggressions and fiery overreactions and be the neutral observer instead of being or getting into the fray. I remember the other night I was on a job and I was listening to, they were right there next to me. One was to my left, one was to my right. But they were cross-talking with my back turned to them because I was facing the computer. And they were talking about raising children and tough love and so on and so forth. And they were like arguing back and forth. And a couple of times I was tempted to jump into the fray and I don't know what came over me, but I just sort of relaxed and just listened and allowed them to go through whatever it was they were going through in their disagreement on how tough love should be, because, of course, I had my own opinions that I could have inserted, and then I would have been a part of the, you know, the outbreak of the discussion that was getting all heated. And I just sat there, and I just listened. And as a matter of fact, I think I sort of turned it off and stopped listening and just allowed it to happen behind me. And I finished doing what I was doing on the computer, got up, and made myself walk out of the room without getting involved. And that was a good feeling. So what Lena is saying on the 27th, this is a good day to put some boundaries around your newly birthed self and spend some time by yourself and away from reactivity and judgment. Use the fiery, potent energy to vitalize your own intentions and fill up the spaces that are now free as a result of what you have surrendered. Work with the sun and be out in nature. Sounds good to close out your month. Real good. Let me grab some water here because I'm getting a little froggy. And let's see where we take this. Okay. About a year ago, I used to write all the time. And I used to write about my experiences, and I call it experiential writing. And I was really good at it. As a matter of fact, I have a whole satchel full of my writings. And the other day, while I was sorting out some papers, I came across something that I wrote, believe it or not, it was in March. 2010. You believe that? Exactly 7 years ago. And I started reading it, and it blew my mind because it was so pertinent to today that it really blew my mind, like I'm saying. And I decided I'm going to share it with you today. I don't usually share my writings. I always said I was going to compile them into a book and publish my book. And that hasn't happened yet. But today, I'm going to share this with you. It's like a little story of what was going on with me back there in March 2010. So here we go. I call it slowing down. Patience is not one of my shining virtues. Was it March already? Spring was just around the corner, and I couldn't wait. I don't do winters well. They always seem to drag on forever. Getting anxious about wanting things to happen sooner than they do seemed to be the story of my life. Take the previous month, for instance. I had gone in for some medical tests. The specialist told me he would call with the results in 2 weeks. I spent my every waking moment those 2 weeks in a frenzy waiting for a call that never came. Finally, I contacted the specialist myself and found out that he was at a convention. I would have to wait another week. This was not good. This was not good at all. I was worrying myself sick. Finally, the call came. I had diverticulitis and a stricture. A small section of the colon was collapsing, and I needed surgery. Was I grateful that the problem could be corrected with surgery? Not missing patients. My mind focused on the word surgery. I walked around in a fog for days wondering what I was going to do. I was working 2 jobs to make ends meet, and the bill collectors were still blowing up my phone. How was I going to pay them off if I couldn't work? Would I even have a job after I recuperated? Who was going to take care of me after a major surgery? I live alone. These questions and more were driving me insane. I wanted to know right then and there how everything was going to turn out before I even agreed to talk about having a surgery. Worry turned into stress, and stress turned into exhaustion. Exhaustion is what caused me to oversleep by an hour the day I woke up to the racket being made by the birds chirping outside my apartment door. Still half asleep, I crawled out of bed, thinking I must be dreaming. It wasn't that far into March for all those birds to be chirping outside. Besides, it was still freezing out there. It was the sudden ringing of the phone and the rude bill collector on the other end that snapped me back into the harsh reality of the challenges I was facing in my life. Alone, money problems, bill collectors, surgery, and now I was late for work. I threw my hands up in the air and started to cry. As I looked up at the ceiling and said, God, what is going on? I'm tired. I can't take this stuff any longer. No matter how hard I try, I can't get out of this mess I'm in. Talk about feelings of despair. I had had it. Then I heard the birds again. What were they doing out there? I opened my door and looked out onto my screened-in balcony. A small bird had flown up through the stairwell leading to my second floor apartment. It couldn't figure out how to get back out to its little friends. It was frantic. It kept flying around overhead. Then it landed, clawing and biting on the screen, trying recklessly to free itself. As this happened, loud, frenzied chirping was coming from its family and friends on the other side of the screen. I'd never seen that many birds, you know? One of the birds on the free side kept flying over and landing on the screen. The two seemed to be talking to one another. I took that one to be its mate. The screen was the prison for the one on my side, and the other bird was trying to comfort it from the free side. It was amazing to see an entire community of birds perched on the walnut tree in front of my balcony, and all of them chirping excitedly with apparent concern for the bird that was trapped. As I watched this expression of caring between those birds, all the anxiety I had felt for my own problems dissipated. The only thought that occupied my mind was how to help that little bird free itself. I even forgot that I would be late for work. It was obvious that it had flown up the stairwell. Now all I had to do was figure out a way to get it back down the stairs and to freedom on the other side of that screen. As the excitement continued outside my door, I walked around the apartment looking for something lightweight to throw over the tiny little thing without hurting it. Hopefully, I could catch it that way. Once caught, I could walk down the stairs and set it free. Then I thought, birds have tiny hearts and don't take stress very well. I just might kill it. If I couldn't think of something quickly, I might come home at 11 o'clock that night and find a dead bird on my balcony just the same. What could I do? Then it hit me. There's a gutter in the balcony that allows water to drain off the floor during rain and snow. If I could somehow get the bird to notice that hole, it might escape to freedom and friends waiting on the other side. But I didn't have any bird seed. No bird seed. Bread. I could use bread. I ran to my cabinet for bread. My presence upon returning to the balcony made matters worse. The bird started flying everywhere and pecking at the screen like crazy. I walked over to the gutter and dropped tiny pieces of bread on the floor. I dropped a trail of blood. A trail of blood, yeah, right. I dropped a trail of bread that led from the point in the screen that the bird was most frantically trying to escape from. This trail led right up to and out of the gutter's hole. Then I returned to my door and watched. The pecking, clawing, and screeching continued. Little wings kept flapping wildly. As I stood in my doorway, I kept saying mentally, "Find the bread. Oh, please find that bread." The little bird would fly to the screen, hop down to the floor, then onto my shovel, then back to the screen, but it didn't notice the bread. I had done all I could do to help. I had to get to work. I went back inside. When I was finally ready to leave for work, I noticed it was silent outside. As I slowly opened the door, I half expected to find a dead bird on my balcony. As I looked around, there was no dead bird. Then I noticed down at the spot where I dropped the bread trail, it was gone. Nothing but faint traces of crumbs remained. The little bird had calmed down long enough to find the trail I had left. By calming down, it not only found nourishment, it found an opening to freedom. Wow, what a divine coincidence. Just that morning, hadn't I been feeling trapped and frantic? Hadn't I been feeling there was no way out of my predicament, no matter how frantically I searched? Was this my Creator's way of showing me that no matter what I am going through, being frantic and impatient keeps me from noticing that there is a way out? Not only had my heart been lifted because I had helped the little bird, my spirits lifted because I knew a personal message had been sent to me. The way out of any dilemma I find myself in is right there for me to find. My Creator always places a path for me to follow. I just need to slow down and experience the inner peace that comes with faith and know that the path is there even when I can't see it unfolding before me. Having faith brings peace of mind, the peace of knowing that with patience, I don't have to worry about tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. I don't have to worry about any of it. The path to the way out has already been placed before me. In order to find the path, I need to be still and know that God is already there. That's what I wanted to share with you all today. You know, the path is already there. And no matter what it looks like outside, like it says on my show's opening, the light at the end of the tunnel isn't an illusion. The tunnel is the illusion. And so one way or another, our long walk through the dark is almost over. Okay? It's almost over because our Creator is already there. Lines are open for anyone who would like to share, because as you can see, I'm beginning to lose my voice. I don't know what that is. But it's been happening a lot lately, mostly because I do a lot of talking and a lot of trying to explain things and open up things and communicate about things. So I had this I have this book called Sacred Geometry, and I wanted to share a little bit of that with you today, and then we're going to close out the show early, only because I think I want to go out in the sunshine, and I think you need to be out in the sunshine. I was talking, well, not really talking verbally with my niece, but we were communicating on Facebook, and she told me that she was listening to a show that I did, 1218, the show that I did back then. And I started listening to the show while I was moving around the house. You know, that was a pretty good show, if I say so myself. And I said something on that show back there in December that came to fruition here in March. And, you know, I love it when you speak on something months previously and then you look at the current day's events and they have unfolded exactly the way you had hoped they would or you expressed that they would. Now, one of the things in that show that I said was I needed an upgrade in a vehicle. I needed an upgrade in a vehicle. And so I started looking for a vehicle, but I said before I got the vehicle that I was driving, my former vehicle, which was a van, when I started talking about getting a new car, my van just automatically died on me. It's as though my van said, oh, you don't want me anymore? Well, I don't want you either. So this time around, I wasn't going to have that same problem with my current car leaving me before I was ready for it to leave. So here's what yours truly did. I sat in my car. See, people think I'm out there. You know, that's okay, though. It works for me. I sat in my Subaru Outback, and I said, okay, Subi, you know that I can't keep putting a lot of money into you because I need to retire from my job, and I'm going to need a car that's going to at least make me feel like it's going to last me for the rest of my life. And we know that can't be you because you've done me well for 8 years. But when I bought you, you had 142,000 miles on you. You currently have 268,000 miles on you, Subi. And I think it's time for me to turn you over. But I'm asking you, don't leave me stranded without a car until you help me find your replacement that's going to take care of me after you leave. So you got to stay here. And this is what I said. I said that in December, that this is what I was going to say to my Subaru Outback. 268,000 miles on her. You know, she's got new tires. I mean, I take care of my vehicles. I don't care how old they are. How many miles on it? Take care of. And so I'm expecting her to take care of me. And she was going to help me find my replacement. Hang in there. Well, Subaru is sitting outside like I asked her to. And I have Precious sitting behind her. The RAV4 that Subi helped me find. Now, this guy wanted to buy my Subaru. I'm not going to sell it for very much money because it's going to need some work in it. And she's going to need work, and I still drive her to work. So I'm still driving her. But he wants my Subaru. He's mean, grumpy, and he's like, ew. And he wants it. But I can't sell my Subaru to somebody that's nasty. It's not about money. It's who's going to take care of her, or if she's going to be turned over to somebody, like donate her to a corporation or a nonprofit that's going to take care of her and turn her over to a family that will take her the rest of the way, her life, you know. She's got to have somebody that's going to be good to her. So it's not about money. So I want you to know that this is the way I talk to inanimate things. This is the way I put me into everything that God blesses me with. I take care of everything that I am blessed to have, you know. And when I turn it over, I'm not turning it over just because I need a dime or a dollar. I mean, I can't have two vehicles now because I'm paying for two insurances and two taxes and two this and two that. But the right person will have to come along. And it was amazing to me that I said all of this in the show in December. I requested it and manifested it. So know that we're living in a time of quick flash manifestation. You ask and you will receive, but it's got to be with the greatest of intentions. It can't just be fly by night. You've got to have good intentions if you want to manifest good deeds, okay? Well, we're having a grand old day. So, back to sacred geometry. Sacred geometry wanted me to flip to the pentagram. The pentagram, or the pentagon, is a pentagram that expresses power and excellence. Okay, the pentagon is a five-sided geometric figure holding energy that represents power, excellence, regeneration, and transcendence. When the midpoints of each side of the pentagon are connected, they form a star. This shape, called a pentagram, is a symbol of power and protection in the Wiccan tradition. Choosing the pentagon suggests that you are protecting yourself from some real perceived threat, and you are needing confirmation of the effectiveness of your actions. Now, maybe this is something that I really needed to read, because, you know, I got somebody at my job that's liking to, you know, harass me a little bit. And so what this little pentagon is saying is, to ask myself what threatens me. And if there is a physical threat, I'm advised to seek support and take immediate steps to remove myself from the situation. Now, how would one do that if one has to go to work and be in that situation? You know? Well, last night I got online and I was kind of sort of looking at, you know, Can you file a grievance, or can you do something about a coworker who is harassing you? And what happens if you reported it to management and management doesn't do anything about it? Do you know you can file a suit against your company if they know or have been informed that you're being harassed by a coworker and they do nothing about it to help you in any way? Well, this is what Pentagon is saying. Emotional, mental, and spiritual dangers often arise from lack of attention or unwillingness to listen to your inner guidance. Go within and define your inquiry with the intention of moving through and beyond whatever is creating the uncertainty or insecurity. Act in accordance with your inner knowing, remembering that the answer lies within. So that should be, that should put any of us on notice who feels that we are having a problem or we are being threatened by any outside forces or people who are just getting on your nerves. You know, there are bullies out there in the world that don't just bully, children. There are bullies out there in the world that bully adults also, you know. We know that. We've seen that. Seen that on TV. People bullying one another for no apparent reason. So I'm going to do one more thing, and then we're going to close the show early. And I think I'm going to take a ride and surprise my son at his new apartment. That would be something that I would like to do. But I'm going to read something from Notes from the Universe. I'm going to share that with you. First, we're going to kind of like send out some vibration to the universe and ask the universe exactly what the universe wants all of us to know. And whatever the universe chooses, it should touch each and every one of our hearts. You ready? Here goes your note from the universe before we close the show early. What if there was only you, and the rest of the world was make-believe, imagination? If even the people in your life were drawn there or felt faded away based upon your thoughts. Would it then be easier for you to grasp the true meaning of limitless? Would you then believe that you alone make your reality? Dearest, the rest of the world is make-believe, imagination. And all the people in your life are there or fade away based upon your thoughts. Wow. That was easy. Tally-ho, limitless. And don't let those who aren't in tune with you distract you from those who are. Okie dokie. I'm telling everyone, we're ending the show 15 minutes early, so you can go out there and still partake of a little bit of whatever sunshine is left wherever you are living, because I'm seeing clouds rolling over here. And if I don't do anything but just go for a walk in my community, you take care, you stay blessed, and this is Duchess signing out. Thank you for being here. Thank you.